So hello and welcome. This is Erica Glessing and you're joining me for The Erica Glessing Show, where you receive 8 minutes of daily inspiration for entrepreneurs and lightworkers. And my next guest is the number one best-selling author. She loves to move. Ah, her name is Amy Shine, which, I mean, even her name makes me happy. And I believe we're talking to her from Florida, but I'm pretty sure there's a bit of a brogue in her
yes, there
background.
Is.
Welcome. Amy, how are
Thanks,
you?
Erica. Thanks.
Yeah, where is that from? Where's that beautiful accent from, Amy?
I'm from Ireland. Yeah. I'm from Cork down south. I'm Irish born and bred and moved here 4 years ago. 4 years in October.
Oh my god.
I moved to the sunshine. So like my last name, I like a lot of sunshine and just had to follow the sun.
I don't blame you. People must just sort of pause when they hear you speak. Like, do they just pause and kind of look at you and get happy?
Yeah. I get asked a lot of questions.
That's so fun.
But not everybody knows the accent. Some people guess, like, they're like, oh, Australia, South Africa. Like, they just go through all the English-speaking countries until they get to Ireland.
If you dyed your hair just a little bit redder. No, I'm just
playing. Yeah, I don't look Irish. People, like, you don't look Irish. I'm like, what? Not everyone in Ireland has red hair and freckles. Like, my mother is very dark.
Oh my goodness. You know, when I went to New York when I was a kid, and you, Amy and I are on video. I apologize, everybody. You're only on the audio. And I have very dark, thick hair. And my cousins were like, you're from California, but you're not blonde. And they were so disappointed. I'm like, well, not every Californian is blonde.
Yeah, we have black hair people too.
Exactly, right? I have some Irish in my blood too. So,
yeah,
you can see the black Irish.
There is black Irish,
dark hair and the blue eyes. So
yeah.
So tell me, Amy, let's just talk a little bit about, I know you wrote in the book, Dancing as a Body of Consciousness, but why don't you talk a little bit about, like, what inspires you? What gets you turned up? What gets you,
Dance. Movement. That's what inspires me. And that's one of the reasons, you know, I got involved in that book. And because movement for me is really what inspires me. Like, and I'm not a professional trained dancer. I didn't come from any background in dance. You know, I did a bit of Irish dance when I was younger, but nothing really anything. I didn't have years of training, but I found movement. And I use the word movement because people have a lot of judgment of dance. And they, you know, when they hear the word dance, they jump right into, you know, train dancing or ballet or, you know, something where you're trained, you know. And with movement, it's more like wide open. Like, everyone can move. You're moving, you know, even if you're sitting in a chair, you're moving. You move your hand, you move your fingers, you know, you move your head. So like, we're moving all the time, every day. And so it's really funny. People always say to me, oh, I can't dance. But I'm like, well, you can move. If you're moving, you're dancing, you know?
Yeah. And so, I love that.
Yeah. That's like,
a great way to look at dance, because really, if you look at, like, I mean, I just got a big hit on why I dance, and it's really my morning thing. It's just what I do in the mornings, and all the doors are closed. I even close the curtains because I have an upstairs bedroom and I don't need a lot of attention for my dance. And it's very funny because it's just me moving, and it's kind of more of a sacred space than a public space.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, we're walking around in this world and we're picking up on, you know, I'm sure you've had people on the show talk about, you know, picking up on other people's thoughts, other people's ideas, other people's emotions, other people's stuff. And a lot of it we're holding in our bodies. So for me, like, when I move my body, I release that energy and I release anything stuck and I let go of a lot of the stuff in my head and stress and all that stuff that we hold on to. And it gets me into my body and it shifts my energy. And it shifts my mood and it elevates me, like you said. And you talked about, like, what inspires you. Like, I get inspired, you know. Like, if I was to get up and sit at a computer for 8 hours, like, I would, my body would start screaming. So I have to move regularly. Like, I get inspired through the movement. And then I can go back and work on the computer. But it's just like in, it's just like there's a power. There's a power when you move your body. And for me, there's a power when you move your body with no judgment.
Well, I want to tell you, I want to just back up an instant to that, mm-hmm. because some of the tools we're using here, people, by the way, if you don't know, are from some of the bodies of work of Access Consciousness. But I got a hit when you were talking about how we put other people's thoughts in our head. Mm-hmm. But I also got a hit on, like, let's say you're sitting next to someone who has extreme back pain. Or let's say you're sitting next to someone who's, their shoulders are constricted or their neck's constricted. What kinds of things can you do when, because people may not even be aware, their body might start feeling constricted and it might not even be theirs.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's again, like you said, just being aware. So like if you are sitting at a desk job, you know, or you're at a computer job in an office or wherever, if you work in a restaurant, it doesn't have to be a sitting down job. And you walk into your workplace and you start to get headaches out of the blue or pains in your back. Just start asking like, okay, so who does this belong to? You know, you were fine before you walked in the door. Now all of a sudden you have a headache. You know, that's a good aha moment to go, okay, who does this belong to? You know, and is this mine? Is this someone else's or is this something else? And more often than not, it's not yours. 99% of the time, it's someone else or something else. And you don't have to figure it out. You can just return to sender with consciousness attached. And what I find is that if you use that tool, and sometimes it works very quickly and other times it doesn't. So it may mean that you might want to just get up from your desk for a couple of minutes and go to the bathroom and ask who does it belong to and return to sender. Or, you know, like just move your body a small bit, because not only so the who does it belong to tool works amazingly. And with that, when you move your body, you also shift the energy from your body. You know, it's not yours, right? You're still aware of it. So how can you shift that energy from your world? Well, you really shift that energy from your world when you become more space with it. Because it's like, okay, I get that I pick up on people's headaches, or I get that I pick up on people's pains in their bodies when I work in the office or the restaurant or the wherever it is you work. And I use the who does it belong to, you know, I ask who does this belong to and I return to sender. It's still there. Okay, now what else? Maybe ask to be more space, you know, ask to expand out and be more space. And if you need to, go to the bathroom, take a break, move your body, and just like whatever it takes just to shift that energy.
Right. And honestly, I want to just tell people, if your body is asking you to go outside and take a little walk, or if your body is asking you to take a bathroom break, do it.
Do it, yeah. Do like it. How many like, of us have like learned to sit there, you know, like we were in school, like holding your for so long, like because you're so afraid to ask the teacher, can you go to the bathroom? Because she'll tell you, you know, or give out because whatever. And you're like holding it, you know, and you're not like, it's totally dishonoring your body. Like, so we've like learned these behaviors since we've been in school that like we had to sit in one place. Well, like, guess what? Like, you're not a child anymore. You have choice now, you know, like you had a, you know, you can actually like get up, like you said, and go to the bathroom, or you can tell your boss you're taking a 5-minute break, or you right. can go out in the garden, like you said, and put your feet on the grass. Right. You know, movement doesn't have to be exercise.
I just want to circle back because I'm just so interested in this topic. just like the whole thing of judgment, like I really got a hit when you said that, like of walking into a gym, like where people are supposed to go and have like joyful, you know, working out, like, you know, I get to go to the gym, right? It's like, I get to go swimming. I get to go to the gym. And you walk in and then there's just like all this judgment, like your body isn't this or your body isn't that. What can we do when we choose to move or we choose to do that? And then we are present to the judgment or the shape of our body isn't, we judge ourselves quite frequently.
So again, like who does it belong to? Like that question. And it's to be really, I think, almost like, I'm going to use the word anal with using the tool. Like, because, okay, so you walk into the gym, like, and you start judging yourself. Again, who does that belong to? How many people go to the gym and try to lose weight through judgment? They're on the treadmill. They're not enjoying it. You know, they're judging themselves because they had whatever, they didn't stick to their diet this week. And you pick up on all that stuff in the gym. Personally, I don't go to gyms. It's way too harsh for my body. But I do go to yoga centers, and they judge themselves too. you know, and like yoga people judge themselves because they're not flexible enough or because they can't do the pose that other people do. So it's just really like when you're in classes like that or in environments, just asking who does it belong to every time the judgment creeps in. And it can be very creepy, you know, very sneaky, like, oh, you know, I'm not able to do that. Or, yeah. Oh, I didn't eat this week. Or, oh, like another thing that happens to me, I go to yoga and I'd be like, I really need to be doing more yoga. I should be doing yoga 4 or 5 times. If I'm doing a 3 times, I should be doing it 5 times a week. And I'm like, Amy, who does this belong to? You know, like everyone's in the room thinking I didn't do enough yoga this week. Same as the gym. I didn't go to the gym enough. Like, and it's like, if you didn't. Yeah,
I totally get that. And I just want to add one little tiny counterintuitive point that when we allow ourselves to be the happiest person in the room and we allow ourselves to be blissful no matter where we are, it really freaks people out and it's really fun.
Yeah. Like I even, cause yoga can be like pretty, you know, like I'll dance at home and like I create dance movement classes where we get to be that let go. And like my dance classes I create are like dance with no judgment, like dancing without judgment. So I create that space for people to come and let go and dance with their bodies. Nice. But it's interesting when I go to yoga, I do that as well. I go to yoga for my body. I love the heat. I go to hot yoga. I love the heat with the stretching and the movement. And sometimes I'll be in like a giddy mood and I'll like do little ass shaking in the middle of a downward dog, you know? So it's like, yeah, are you willing to be that like different and that out of control and that out of form and not have to, you know, like, yeah, be so serious like everyone else. Like, we're there, you know.
It. And Amy, you know what? We went through this time so fast. How do we reach
no
you?
Way.
We got more. It's over. We went over just a few minutes.
Okay. Reach me on Facebook. It's Amy, A-M-Y, and last name Shine, S-H-I-N-E.
Thank you so much, Amy.
Oh, thank you.
Bye.
It was so much fun.